Good to see y'all. I want to announce a couple of things happening this evening. The kids are going to go ahead and go back for their practice for the kids' choir, which we're very excited about that. So they can go ahead and be dismissed for that. Then the plan for tonight, as you know, is we're going to open up with one worship song, and then I'm going to finish up Joseph. And we're going to try to get the service cut out about 7:45 tonight to allow time to get the fellowship hall cleaned out. And when at the end of the service, I'll announce the process of that. And we do have donuts and coffee for y'all as well, so y'all can grab some donuts and coffee for helping out tonight. We appreciate it very much. And I was hoping a few more would be here. You know, when your pastor says, hey, I need some help, I'll just remember that the next time the ones call that aren't here tonight. How's that? So, anyway, but we'll get her done, right? We'll get her done. So, but we're excited about having our Easter service in our new building. We're doing that just for the space because every year we're bringing folding chairs in here. One year people are standing up along the back wall, so we want to make sure we got room for Easter service, and we're excited to be in that. It'll be a different atmosphere a little bit, and Randy's been great getting all of our equipment hooked up. We'll have microphones out there. My cordless will be out there. Both computers will be out there. It'll run just like it does in here electronically. So he's been really working hard on all that, and I appreciate that. So anyway, let's open up in prayer. If you'll stand with us, we'll open up a prayer tonight, and then Margie will go into a worship song as we worship the Lord together tonight. Father, we are grateful once again to be in this place, and I know that all of us have battles and storms that we carry. God, we all got issues, and I'm just thankful that we know the one who can solve them all. Lord, I thank you that whatever they say, you are greater than it, and I am thankful for that. We get many reports in our lives, God, many negative things come against us, but we know you are greater, because greater is you that lives in us, and that which is against us. We are thankful, God. We are so thankful. I pray that the word tonight, the worship, you get all the glory, and that you fill our hearts with all you have for us, that you speak to us, Lord. Every day is fresh, every day is new. We are breathing your breath in this place tonight, and we are grateful, we are thankful. I pray for healing inside and out. I pray for emotional healing, physical healing, spiritual healing. Whatever the need is, God, you're greater than that. You're greater than what they say is against us. I just pray, Lord, that your spirit move in this place tonight, and we leave here, as always, changed by being in your sanctuary. In Jesus' name, amen. Y'all sing along. You know this song. tonight, worshiping our King. We'll never know how much it costs to see our sin upon the cross. As we get ready to celebrate Easter, we would definitely be focused on that, how that our sin was taken care of, and we'll never know the cost of the price that was truly paid. I'm thankful for the grace of Jesus. We're going to finish up in Joseph tonight, kind of just close out the series. This will be actually a part nine. This will be our ninth week talking about Joseph. And we're going to be in chapter 45, I believe. And if you remember last week where we left off, Joseph finally revealed himself to his brothers of who he was. And all that time they didn't know, and he finally revealed himself, and he wept. He had a very emotional moment saying, "I'm your brother, the one that you put in a pit, you know, and thought was, you know, you left. But here I am, and I'm he." And we closed out with verse 8 in chapter 45 last Wednesday. So we're going to pick up now in verse 9. Now remember, Joseph's dad, Jacob, had thought he'd been dead all these years. 22 years he thought his son had been dead. And so now Joseph gives his brothers some instructions in verse 9. It says, "Haste ye and go up to my father and say unto him, Thus saith my son Joseph, God hath made me lord of all of Egypt. Come down unto me and tarry not. And thou shalt dwell in the land of Goshen, and thou shalt be near to me, you, your children, your children's children, your flocks, your herds, and all that thou hast. And there will I nourish you, for there are 5 years of famine still left, and thy household and all that thou hast come to poverty. And behold, your eyes see, and your eyes of my brother Benjamin, that it is my mouth that speaketh unto you. And you shall tell my father of all my glory in Egypt, and of all that you have seen, and you shall haste and bring down my father here. And he fell upon his brother Benjamin's neck, and he wept, and Benjamin wept upon his neck. Moreover, he kissed all of his brothers and wept upon them. And after that, his brethren talked with him." I want to stop here and make a point. Here we see a beautiful, beautiful expression of forgiveness and mercy. His brothers had thrown him in a pit. His brothers had sold him into slavery. His brothers had deceived their dad for 22 years, taking back a torn piece of his coat of many colors with blood on it, deceiving their dad and thinking he had been killed by an animal. And now here he had every right, by human right, every right to get them back, every right to punish them, every right to hold that over their head, but he didn't. He showed peace and mercy and forgiveness and compassion. He offered not evil for evil, but what the Bible says, good for evil. He overcame evil with good. He blessed his enemies. At that time, they were his enemies, but yet he's blessing them. He's already sent them home twice with food and all their money, so all the food was free. And now he's saying, "Go get dad, bring him here, that we all can live together, and I will take care of you during this famine." This is what Christ does for us. He takes care of us in times of famine. He says, "Just come to me and trust me, and I will bring you in, and I will provide for you, I will nourish you, I will love you, and I will take care of you." We see great redemption in this story because, once again, Joseph had every right to be vindictive, but it did not, his heart was not hardened. You know, me and Mom were talking earlier, and she's brought this up before, about Moses. How Moses was raised in Egypt all those years. He was raised seeing false gods worshipped. He was raised with false religion, probably crammed down his throat. He probably went to false tent revivals, so to speak, in Egypt. But yet, Egypt didn't get inside of him. He stayed faithful to the God he believed in. God preserved Moses in a time of indoctrination. God preserved him. Well, God preserved Joseph as well. His heart was not bitter. It was not angry. It was not cold. He was hurt. Of course he was hurt. His own brothers could do that to him. But he wasn't angry. He wasn't vindictive. He wanted reconciliation. He wanted peace. He wanted the brokenness to be put back together. He didn't want any more to be scattered and to have any alt feelings. He wanted them to know, look, all is forgiven and all is well. I'm kissing you on the neck to let you know you're my brother and all is well. I'm thankful at Calvary when Jesus says, "It is finished," all became well with us. all became well. God was saying all is now well because the price has been paid. Your sin's been restored, redeemed. All is well with me. And so here we see this beautiful story of mercy and love. And her brothers are talking. And verse 16, the fame thereof was heard in Pharaoh's house, saying, Joseph's brethren are come. And it pleased Pharaoh well and his servants. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, say unto your brethren, this do you, lay your beast, go get you into the land of Canaan, and take your father and your household, and come to me, and I will give you the good of the land of Egypt, and you shall eat the fat of the land. Not only had God prepared Joseph for this moment, we've been talking for the last 9 weeks or 8 weeks about the process, how everything's a process. How we think, oh God, you put me in a pit. Oh, devil's after me. No, Joseph wasn't in the pit because of the devil. He was in the pit because of God. Now he put me in prison. Oh, I'm in prison. This woman tried to come on to me and get me to sleep with her, and I actually said no. What? Gee, what a thing. I actually said no. And I get thrown in prison for saying no. Man, how much time I got if I said yes? No, I served in 2 years. Oh, devil's after me. The devil didn't put Joseph in prison. That was also part of God's plan. The process we saw, him being taken out of Egypt as a 17-year-old teenager to becoming at 30 years of age, the second in command of a nation. All of this was a process of God positioning Joseph where he wanted him. Now God is speaking to Pharaoh's heart. And preparing Pharaoh to receive his father and his family, them old nasty Hebrews. Remember them old Hebrews? That's how they were dressed at one place. This, remember that woman, that Potiphar's wife said, this Hebrew you brought in the house was slanging him, really. This Hebrew you brought in the house. And so now we see Pharaoh saying, bring your father, bring your family, and guess what? I'm going to give them that little old nasty 3.5 acres of mountain slide land that had no grass and water, and they can live there. That's not what he said. I'm going to give you the best of the land. I'll give your family the best, and they'll eat of the fat of the land. They'll eat of the very best. God now had spoke to Pharaoh's heart to help bring provision as well for Joseph's family. See, God's in all of this. It's just so awesome to trust God. And I know it seems hard when things are going bad. I mean, the last few weeks, I've been getting this terrible news from different people and different texts, and I'm like, my Lord, what is going on? But I realize, man, God's in control. And as we just stay steadfast and grounded to where God has us, he will see us through, and we will have the victory. Either now or in the end, we know we already have the victory because of Jesus. So he says, you'll eat the fat of the land, you'll have the best. Go get your family and get them here. Verse 19, now thou art commanded, do this. Take your wagons out of the land of Egypt for your little ones and for your wives and bring your father and come. Also, regard not your stuff. Leave all that junk behind. Give it to Goodwill, is what he's saying. Because he says this, he says, for the good of all the land of Egypt is yours. I'm going to provide brand new stuff. Don't worry about bringing that beat-up horse you got. Don't worry about bringing that old rotten gold you got. I've got rotten gold. I don't know if it can be rotten gold, but if you got any rotten gold, I'll take it. He's saying, look, leave all that stuff behind. I'm going to provide everything you need. Can't we hear Jesus saying that? Leave everything behind. The song Casting Crowns, you know, does the well. Leave it all behind. Come to the well. Leave it all behind. If we realize that God can give us a brand new thing, a brand new life, a brand new start. All the provisions are by God. We don't need to have to bring anything with us. Just trust God to be our provider. Philippians 4:19, my God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches. Not our 401ks, not our retirement plans, not our job, not our paycheck, not our tax refund. God's going to take care of us from his source. Here we see Pharaoh offering the best land, the best provision, the best food. Just go get your family, Joseph. Get them here, and I will make sure I take care of them. Verse 21, and the children of Israel did so. And Joseph gave them wagons according to the commandment of Pharaoh and gave them provision for the way. Remember, this is a long journey, so they had to have food, you know, there and back.
To all of them he gave each man changes of raiment, clothing, but to Benjamin he gave 300 pieces of silver and 5 changes of raiment. And to his father he sent after this manner, 10 donkeys laden with good things of Egypt, and 10 she-donkeys laden with corn and bread and meat for his father by the way. So he sent his brothers away, Joseph now sending all of his family away to go get dad. And they departed. He said to them, see that you fall not out by the way. This expression means don't get quarreling and arguing because I gave Benjamin more or because y'all start fighting, but have peace on the journey. I got thinking about how that could apply to us. You know, as God's people, I'm talking about as God's true people, the people of Jesus. Let me specify that. We're one family. We may worship a little bit different, may have different preaching styles, may do hymns versus contemporary, may have pews versus seats. Some may raise their hands, some may not, some may shout, some may whisper, some may stand, some may kneel. Some may dress casual, some may dress up. But we're all part of God's family. And so why do we quarrel so much among ourselves when we all are on the same journey? We're just taking a different path, but we're all heading the same direction. We're pressing toward the mark of the high calling of Christ. We're pressing toward the goal. We're all on the journey trusting Jesus. And so many times we get quarreling about things that absolutely make no sense. Let's keep the big picture in mind. We're serving the King. If you got more than one kid, my parents were very blessed. They got it all right the first time. But if you got more than one kid, they're always different. Your kids are different. If you got multiple kids, they're wired different, their nature is different, their personalities are different, sometimes they look different. You got two boys, and I'm sure they're different. They're different in their personalities. But they're both your kids, and they both bear your name and have your blood and have your heritage. We don't have to all look alike or be alike. We're all part of God's family. I got thinking how many times we quarrel and there's strife stirred up whenever we should just focus on, man, we're all serving the same Lord, going the same way, and man, we all got problems. Maybe I don't have your problem. We're like, thank God. But I got enough of my own. We're all carrying something. And so let's walk this journey together and not quarrel and have peace. The Bible says, if at all possible, live at peace with all men. What verse am I on? 25, thank you. And they went up out of Egypt, and they came to the land of Canaan unto Jacob their father. Now here daddy's finding out. Look at this in verse 26. They told him, saying, Joseph, how do they feel about this, I wonder? It's not like they didn't know. Oh, Pop, by the way, guess what? We don't know what happened, but somehow we get to Egypt, and guess who's alive? Your boy, Joseph's alive. I wonder how they spilled that. I just wonder how they, I mean, could they do it with a straight face? They make bets on the way. Hey, Simon, you tell him. No, Benjamin, he likes you best. You tell him, you know. I wonder who actually, you know, said it and how they draw straws. They said, Joseph is yet alive, and he is governor over all the land of Egypt. And Jacob's heart fainted, for he believed them not. And they told him all the words of Joseph, which he had said to them. And when he saw the wagons which Joseph had sent to carry him, the spirit of Jacob, their father, revived. Wouldn't yours revive, find out your boy was still alive after 22 years? His spirit revived. I've got hope again. I've got joy again. This is what Jesus does for us. In our darkness, in our sin, in our pain, when we have nothing. We looked at the cross and realized the cross is much more than two pieces of wood and three nails. The cross revives me. The cross restores me. The cross gives me hope again that I didn't have before. The cross gives me peace that I've never had and joy that I've never experienced because I realize the power of that cross. And when I look at that cross, I see a living Savior, which means because He lives, so do I. Because He rose, so do I. Because He's forever, so am I. It restores our soul. And man, I'm thankful for that because we serve a living God, not a dead God. These aren't just pages of history and words. These are That's why our church is called Living Word. And I've said it a million times. Living Word. When we started this church, Living Word is what God kept speaking to my spirit. Living Word. Living Word, because it's a living word for a living people. It's a live word for us right now. It's not just something we read about, oh, back in Joseph's day. We have hopefully learned on this 9-week journey that we can apply a lot of things from Joseph's life to our own life. Integrity, forgiveness, faithfulness, steadfastness, humility, obedience. All of those things we glean from the life of Joseph. All of these things we see and we can apply to our lives right now. And we see how God blessed Joseph when he was in the pit. It looked bad. When he was in prison or a slave, it looked bad. When he's in prison, it looked bad. But then the good finally came. The good moment for Joseph finally came when God raised him out of prison and at 30 years old put him in a position of authority and power and integrity and honor that all the nation seen who this Hebrew really is, that God has raised this Hebrew up to be something pretty special. But it took a while. It took a while. He'd been in Egypt now for 22 years before Dad ever knows he's alive. And now here his father's finding out. And Israel, which is Jacob in verse 28, said, "It is enough. Joseph, my son, is yet alive. I will go and see him before I die." So he knows he's alive. He's ready to make the journey. You know, Jacob was older, of course, at this point of his life, but he wanted to go see his son. Now, we're going to skip. There's a few chapters between now and 50, but it just I want to skip to the meat of his end of his life so we can close this series out, because the stuff in the middle is just talking about they get there, they settle in, and, you know, that kind of stuff. So look at chapter 50 and verse 22, the last chapter of Genesis, chapter 22. Joseph dwelt in Egypt and his father's house, and Joseph lived 110 years. So Joseph lived to be 110 years old. Remember, he was 30 whenever he became ruler of second in command of Egypt. So he's 110. Look at verse 24. Joseph said to his brothers, "I die, and God will surely visit you and bring you out of this land unto the land which he sware to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob." Remember, Abraham, God had prophesied to Abraham that he had a country waiting on him, a land, a promised land that he would inherit. And Joseph reminding his brothers, this isn't where we're always going to be. And I want to say that to you tonight. You're not where you're always going to be. You may be in Egypt right now, but there is a promised land that God will take you to. And also, Egypt was another stop, another step in the process of the heritage and the promise of the seed of God. The seed of God went through Egypt to get to the promised land. And it took a while, if you remember, it took a while for this to transpire. Because in Exodus, we read, where 400 years they had cried out, "Lord, deliver us." 400 years they were waiting on this promise to be fulfilled. God doesn't put time frames on the things that he says. We just got to trust that what he says is truth and wait on him, and it will come to pass. He's reminding his brothers, don't give up. This isn't where the seed of God will remain. There's a land God promised our father Abraham, and we will go there one day. There's a land God's promised us, church, his kingdom, and we will be there as his children. A place where there's no more tears and no more sorrows and no more pain. There's no more fears. All the old is passed away and all becomes new. A new heaven and a new earth will be established. And we will walk in a place, we'll walk in a land that our feet has not yet touched and our ears have not yet heard about and our eyes have not really yet seen. And there'll be sounds that we've not yet experienced. But so as we are standing in this place tonight, that land awaits every child of God who is covered by the blood of Jesus. It awaits every single person that says, "Yes, Lord, you are Lord and you are King and you are Savior." That place to me, I know, is just as real, even more real. I say many times, I believe that one day when we see the kingdom of God, it'll almost be like this was the dream. I dreamed I was on earth. I dreamed I was a pastor. I dreamed I had three kids. It was like a dream. What happened? It'll be so real, it'll swallow this up like it was nothing. It'll manifest itself in such a glorious way, it will become the new reality of everything we will experience. That's our promised land. We sing songs about it, Beulah Land, and you know, that country far away, all that stuff that we sing, but it's not that far away. It's just right now we're in Egypt. We're still in Egypt, but there's a day that Egypt won't hold back no more. The borders will fall away, and they'll give birth to the new experience of the children of God, and Egypt will give way to the promised land waiting for all of us, just like it was the children of Israel. It's a type and shadow of what is to come for us. It's symbolic of what God has waiting on us, because the Bible says we are the heirs of God. We're joint heirs with Christ. And there's a place for us. It's going to be so glorious and so wonderful. I'll look at this, how this closes out, though. This is, I think, very powerful, too. Verse 25, Joseph took an oath of the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and you will carry up my bones from here. So Joseph died, being 110 years old, and they embalmed him, and he was put in a coffin in Egypt. What's powerful about this, if you read Joshua chapter 24, the last chapter of Joshua, guess what they did? They carried Joseph's bones and buried them in the promised land. Just as God said, he wasn't left back in Egypt. He wasn't left in that dark place. He wasn't left in that. He was carried forth and he crossed the Jordan River along with the rest of the seed of God. Just as we are right now, we may be embalmed in the coffin called mortality, but we will soon be free, and we will soon be immortal forevermore. And this Egypt here will not hold us either, but our bones too shall cross over and be planted in that new place that God has established. I am thankful for that. The life of Joseph, what a beautiful story of where God brought him from, and that how he experienced things that we would blame the devil for. He might have too, I don't know, but he probably was sitting there scratching his head a time or two thinking, this ain't what I planned. I mean, think about this, 17 years old. 17-year-old kid. All dad says is go check on your brothers to see how they're doing, how the herd's doing. Okay, Pop. He never comes back. He just trots out there. Dad will may check on y'all. How you doing? Oh, we doing good. Come here, son. Whoosh. Oh, did you fall? Oh, so sorry. And they left him in a pit. But then God spoke. Says, let's not leave him here to die, lest it be on our hands. Let's at least sell him so that we leave him alive. They sold him to an Ishmaelite band passing by. Sold them for money. Sold their brother for money. Think how Joseph is a 17-year-old kid. Man, he's still going through all kinds of changes at 17. He's not yet a man, but he's not yet a kid. My brothers, my big brothers, what are they doing? They're leaving me. They're forsaking me. And then he finds himself in the palace and God moving. Then he finds himself imprisoned for 2 years, sitting there for doing no wrong. But then his moment comes when he comes up out of the prison and interprets the king's dreams. And not only interprets them, but gives him a plan of how to do it, how to carry out the interpretation. And old Pharaoh said, there's no one as wise in all the land as you, Joseph. You're the man. See, I love, we read last week, I don't know exactly what verse it is, but it was last week we read where he told his brothers, he says, look, don't worry. Everything is cool. What you meant for evil, God meant for good. See, God, I mean, he said in one verse too, God sent me ahead to preserve y'all. That's exactly what happened. See, Joseph knew the path. Joseph knew the sovereign hand of God was greater than all the evil that was against his life. He trusted God's hand of control more than he trusted what the enemy was trying to do against him. If we could live our lives that way, okay, God, I'm in a pit right now. I don't like it. Any of y'all like being in pits? I don't like being in no pit. I used to like that video game Pitfall on Atari 2600 back in the day. But I don't, none of y'all in here know that. Well, Nikki and Jamie would, but that's probably it. No, it's like being in a pit. Ain't no, it's like being in prison. There ain't none of us like being in prison. You know, I go visit people quite a bit. I was in the jail last week and in the prison the week before that. And it's much better to be a visitor than a, what do you call it? An inmate. The only number I got on me is my cell phone, thank God, not on my back. And so it's okay to go visit and be able to leave. But you know what? We don't like being in those prisons. We don't like being in those moments where we don't have anywhere to turn. We're overburdened with pain. We're overburdened with fear. We're overburdened with, we don't like those moments. But it's those moments, God's still God. He's not changed. Let's trust God. God, I can't explain it. I don't like it. We don't have to always like it. I didn't always like when my mom cooked for supper when I was a kid. I didn't always like it. I didn't like when she made spam and Brussels sprouts for supper. Man, how far we've come as a society. Spam and Brussels sprouts. Whew. See, I mean, I was like, man, that's good eating. Not for me no more. Because I don't know what in the world spam even is. Hey, that came out for the computer term spam. That's what it is. You don't know. Spam. You know, if you get spam in your computer, it's junk, right? I got spam. So, anyway, I didn't always like it. But you know what? I knew the next night it'd be something better than spam and Brussels sprouts. And I always liked Friday nights. Because on Friday night, when I got a little, I don't remember how when it started, but when I started remembering, Dad would bring something home on Friday nights. That was the big night. I knew Dad must have got some overtime or something going on because he would come in carrying a bag on Friday night. KFC or some hamburgers from somewhere. Like, man, what's that? I just get so excited. What's Dad going to bring home tonight? He brought something in the house, and it was not was not spam. It was not Brussels sprouts. It was something good. We don't like the spam and Brussels sprout moments of our lives. We all have them. You know, Melanie's not here tonight. She's not feeling good. She texts about 6 o'clock, so I just can't make it. So my heart's really racing, and I'm just not feeling good. You know, and we all have those moments where we are not, we have attacks in our lives, whether it's physical, whether it's mental, whether it's spiritual, whether it's financial. You know, people here have lost their jobs on a dime. You know, no more job. You're gone. You know, those are moments we don't like. They're definitely not moments we pray for. Oh, Lord, I want to be more like you, so, you know, rule my life. Yay. So I can be strong. We don't like that. But we find in those moments when those things happen that God is still God, and we still trust him in those moments. And as we trust him, we got to believe that there's another step or another door or another opportunity that God has waiting on us. And I shared an example of mom's job a couple weeks ago. She had a great job she loved, and the company shut down, just shut down. Devastated my mom. It very much hurt her emotionally because she was so loved what she did, and it emotionally hurt her. But then God opened a brand new door that was even more beneficial than the one before, that she never would have got to if this one hadn't closed. So, you know, we can't always blame the devil for our job shutting down or this shut. Maybe it's just God shutting it down because he's wanting you to do something different, and you won't go unless he gives you a big old kick and says you got to go because you won't leave on your own. Joseph, a beautiful story of forgiveness and redemption. And like I said, a few chapters between, if you want to read them, you can. Just mostly talks about him moving to Egypt and about how Jacob blesses his sons and that kind of thing. But I just want to get the meat of what really happened. We, you know, his father's now coming back. You all live together. God does provide for them during that famine. And then Joseph does pass away. And then later on in Joshua, Joseph's bones are carried and buried in the promised land, just like he requested. And that was hundreds and hundreds of years later. So just amazing. Beautiful story. Beautiful story. Anybody got any comments or anything about tonight's message? We will. Yeah, but I don't know what that is yet. But we'll start a new series next Wednesday. Yes. I think it actually is. Yes, it is. So, yes, it is recorded in there. He did pass away. And they talk about that, how they all come together. And, of course, they wept over their father. So it is in those chapters. Yes. Yes, he did. He got to see Joseph before he died. Yes. He got to know his son was alive. Yeah. But you know what? God had a plan. He had a plan. Anybody else? Nikki? Yes, definitely. Yes, it's a great praise report. Have you talked to him since he's been out? Oh, that's right. Okay, so he's doing good today and feels good. Wait, I was going to say, can't quit breathing. Yeah, that was a great report. That was a great report. All right. Yeah, I can't either. I don't know yet. This good-looking guy with the mustache right here, sitting up here, in case you don't know who he is. This is Mr. Randy's brother. Yeah, that's something. Yeah, you can tell, can't you? Yeah, Mr. Randy's brother. Huh? Who's Randy? Do what? Did you really? Yep. See, every kid's different. That's what I'm saying. Every kid's different. Well, June, good to see you. We're cutting it. You don't know what's going on, Papa. We're cutting it a little bit short tonight because we are, I don't expect you to do this because you're not always here, okay? You're an honored guest tonight, but we are emptying out the fellowship hall, and we're going to have our Easter service in there Sunday morning. We're setting up in there. We're not going to set up in there tonight. We're just going to empty it tonight, and then me and a couple of people will set up tomorrow. But so we cut out a little early so that we could do that tonight, and we do have daylight donuts. We got 5 dozen. Jody's so good. He threw in a dozen free for me. He says, "Here, James, here's a dozen free." I'm like, "Man, don't." He said, "No, it's for the church." So we got 5 dozen for the price of 4 dozen. And he even gave me a discount on the 4 dozen, actually, a little bit. So, great business if you don't ever been there. Daylight Donuts, he's a great guy, Christian guy, great guy. He's awesome. So, they're good. They're good. And Donna's got coffee brewing, right? So, coffee should be ready. So, we got coffee, a few coffee lovers, and yes, we have sugar, cream, all that's back there. So, we'll close out with prayer, and then I'll give you an instruction what we're doing. All right, so what I need done in there is all the round tables, they fold up and they roll, which is good. All of you can roll a table. All of you can. Even Courtney can roll a table, little as she is. You can roll a table. And I've cleared that back row on both sides. If you can maybe roll and put the tables, just lean them against the wall on one side, and the folding chairs, bring them in and put on the other side against the wall. The folding chairs I've got already folded against this wall in the fellowship hall, leave those. I'm keeping those in there. But all the chairs not folded need to be folded and brought in here. So chairs on one side would be great. Round tables on the other side as well. So if we can clean that out, I'd appreciate it. Randy's going to hook my computer stuff up tonight in there and get all that going for us too. So we are excited. We'll have plenty of space Sunday morning for our Easter crowd. And the weather's looking beautiful. Thank you, Lord. It's like 70 degrees and sunny. So it's looking great. So we have a little Easter egg hunt for our kids following the service. Thomas left a little bit of the part of the grass tall back there in case the eggs won't be hid back there in some of the taller grass. I appreciate that. So we'll have a good time Sunday morning. We're excited. Invite a friend. It's Easter Sunday. Invite someone. Invite someone that's not in church. I mean, just, you know, invite someone. It's Easter. It's Easter Sunday. And just say, just, you know, come with me to church. Hear the gospel. Just hear the good news because we're going to celebrate Sunday morning. It's going to be a beautiful service. I really believe that. And we're excited. So anyway, if you'll stand with us, we'll close out in prayer. And then if y'all can get to work, I appreciate it.